I like to believe it's because you understand just how valuable the Word of God is. Mm-hmm. We need the Word of God. We need to be taught the Word of God. And so I'm thankful for the saints of God pushing out in Jesus' name. We are continuing our series, All Things Work Together for Good. All things work together for good. So let's turn over to our foundation text, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 31. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 31. All things work together for good. That's good news. It's good to keep hearing it. What a promise that He's given us. Thank you, Lord, that we are recipients of such an incredible guarantee. And that's what it is. It is a guarantee. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's read verse 28. And we know for those who love God, God works all things together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. Because those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. That's good news, too. That's our destiny that was given to us before the foundation of the world, so that He, Jesus, would be the firstborn among many brothers. We're the second, third, fourth, fifth, 100 millionth born, but He was the firstborn. He was the preeminent one, the prominent one. Verse 30, and those whom He predestined, because He didn't stop there, He keeps going, and those whom He predestined, He also called. He didn't stop there. Those whom He called, He did what? He justified. Didn't stop there. Those whom He justified, He also glorified. What shall we say to all of these things? Since God for us, who against us? Now, we talked last week about all things. So we'll just review that and then pick up from there. All things. Remember, we said last week that all things is comprehensive. It is all inclusive in the fullest possible sense, having no qualifications, no limits. It's like, oh, all of this is going to work for good, but these areas over here, you know how you have a sale, S-A-L-E, put on at a store, and you know, up front, like, everything must go, or something like that. And then you get closer, there's limitations, there's qualifications, all of that. When you look closely at this, there's none of that. When He says all things, it means everything. It is all inclusive in the fullest possible sense. No qualifications, no limits. Hallelujah. That's a good place to shout. Yes, hallelujah. Neither this verse nor its context, remember the verses around it, allow for restrictions or conditions. There's nothing there. There's nothing that exists or occurs in heaven or on the earth that is not included in the phrase all things. Look at verse 38, Romans 8. I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels, principalities, things present, things to come, powers, height, depth, anything created, will be able to separate us from the love of God who is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So there's no incident that can occur that will cause God to say, well, you know what, that right there, that was the one that I can't work that for good. Why? Because nothing can separate us from the love of God. So everything that works together, because we can never be separated, he can work it for our good. Because after all, this promise is for those whom he loves and those who love him. So if nothing can separate us from that, then the promise is for everything. And notice it says neither height nor depth. That's why there's nothing that can occur in heaven or in earth where the Lord God says, you know what, I can't do it. You follow me. Angels, demons, nothing can cause God to not work whatever that is for your good. Because if we could be separated, then that whatever happens during separation could then be not come up under this. But we can't be separated. And then we ended on a beautiful note, really food for thought. What Paul is not saying here that God prevents his children from experiencing bad things or hard things or things that would harm them. That's not what he's saying. What he is saying is that the Lord is, whatever he allows, good or bad, whatever he allows to happen to his children, even the worst things, he even takes the worst things, and turn those ultimately into blessings. God causes all things to work together. We looked at the word together, synergeo, synergism. Remember that word? We talked about soon, S-U-N, means with. It's our sin or symphony, synergisms. And then the word ergo means energy or to work. Take it to center. Synergeo means to work together. Working together various elements to produce a desired outcome or result. We talked about that. We talked about how God takes, how he encoded the sodium and chlorine. Remember that? Separately, they are poison. They'll kill you. But God created, he put within, like I said, he encoded the sodium and the chlorine that when it's put together, they actually become something you can actually ingest. That's incredible. The things that are happening in your life that are poisonous, if you will, they aren't good, but God is allowing it. He's somehow working those things together to produce a good outcome. And that's why I love this example about the two poisons come together to make table salt. God takes everything in your life. And like a great, I don't know what you call someone who makes blankets and weavers, not loomers, but they do it on the loom, but whatever, he's the great weaver. He's weaving all of this together. And we talked about that in this is the doctrine of concurrence or confluence. God's will, man's will working side by side, because God doesn't cut out man's will. Right? He lets him do what he wants to do. We talked about those rivers, remember back in Pittsburgh, the Allegheny, the Monongahela, and the Ohio River, all coming together. And they all flow into the Mississippi. Well, that's what God does. He has his will flowing right next to man's will. Man, he doesn't stop. Man, he allows man to do whatever he wants to do. But ultimately, God has a say-so. It is God that turns those wheels into his ultimate will, the Mississippi, or in this case, table salt. God that does that. And we went over, this is where we ended last time. Again, I want to read the note again. Contrary to what King James rendering seems to work or suggest, the King James version, it is not that things in themselves work together to produce good. Remember that? It's not the thing themselves. Paul made it clear, it is God's sovereign power. It's God's providential will and power that is working together, not natural synergism of circumstances and events in our lives, because they are not working together for anything. No, they just poisonous in and of itself. But God, you know, when your friend dies or your parents die or something happens here, you got cancer or whatever it may be, that's not working together to bring about desire good in and of and by itself. It's the power of God working through those events. It is God's power that causes them to work together for good. That's why the rendering that we read today is, and we know that God causes all things to work together, not the things in themselves. All right, that's our review. So let's pick up now that God is causing all things to work together for what? Good. Agathos. A-G-A-T-H-O-S. Let's talk about that word, agathos. Good. It means that which is beneficial, useful, advantageous. So God is going to cause everything that happens to you to be a benefit to you, to be useful to you, and to give you an advantage. How can I get advantage on stage four cancer? I don't know. But the Word of God says that He's causing all things to work together for good. So if He says that, that means it's going to be beneficial, it's going to be useful, and it's going to be advantageous for you and for me. Good, when we talk about beneficial, useful, and advantageous, we're talking both temporary, and eternal. Now, what the temporal looks like can be in various ways. You may get healing if it's a sickness, but you may not get healing. So there'll be other ways. I mean, we talked about this, that we learn and grow through suffering. We talked about that. That's why we talked about embracing hardship. So whatever way He wants to give you during the temporal, He can. And of course, it's going to always result in eternal. Someone wrote, in other words, during this present life and ultimately in the one to come. So the good, beneficial, the useful, and the advantageous is going to be both in this present life, temporal, and in the one to come, eternal. It's covering both sides. Let's look at a few examples in Scripture of all things working together for good. Now, what's implied in this Scripture, the focus is on bad things. I mean, He says all things. Of course, we know we can see how good things work together for good. But really the focus, the implied focus here is in, and of course, bad things as well. We can see good things, but we struggle at seeing bad things. So I'm going to focus on bad things working together for good throughout Scripture. Let's look at a general the overall panoramic of this, like a summary of this, Psalm 25th chapter or stanza, Psalm 25, verse 10. Looking at examples in Scripture of all things working together for our good. Psalm 25 and 10. Mm-hmm. Psalm 25 and 10. And it reads, All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to anybody and everybody, period. Y'all sleep?
No,
I'm not there yet. Okay. Nobody said, no, that's not what it said. You're just sitting there, just like, crickets. We hear crickets and we hear the furniture. Psalm 25, Sister Valana wasn't there yet. She would have cheated, spoke up. Psalm 25, verse 10. All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to anybody and everybody, period.
For those who keep the covenant.
All right. Once again, doesn't that sound a lot like, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. So this is almost like the Old Testament version of that guarantee in the New Testament. It says, all the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimony. What it's saying is no matter what path the child of God is on, it's going to end up leading to loving kindness and truth, some kind of way. All the paths of the Lord. A path of the Lord is a path that he has you on. Amen. It may be a path of turmoil and trouble, and it's muddy. That path is muddy and it's raining and lightning and storming. Or maybe a path where it's just dry ground. But whatever the path is, he said all the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth. Period. Somehow it's going to lead to that. You'll see his loving kindness, his mercy, his chesed, and his truth. How's it going to happen? Don't try to figure it out because you all in God's land. Just know that he said it. You're going to believe it. We get in trouble trying, and I've warned you and tried to, don't try to figure it out. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts above yours. Yes. He promised it. We can understand that. Thank God we can. We just stay on that. This is the Old Testament counterpart to all things work together for good. Okay, let's look at some. That's a general. Let's look at some specifics. You know these for the most part, but I'd like to read them again. Genesis chapter 50. 50, verse 20. You know the story. Joseph, brothers were jealous. Father showing overt favoritism. Jacob is just outside his mind, just showing overt favoritism. And then when he had this coat of many colors, this fancy coat made for his son, that did it. The other 11 brothers said, that's it. I'm done with this. We're going to sell this. We're going to kill him first. But no, let's throw him in a pit and let him die. And they said, well, you know what? Why not make some money? So the Midianite caravanners were going by and they pulled him out, sold him to him. He then goes to Egypt, gets in under the employ of Potiphar. Potiphar's wife lies on him, saying he tried to have his way with her. He's put in jail for a time. He is able to interpret dreams, and when the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker all in jail, and they get out, and it happens exactly as Joseph says, one was going to die and the other was going to prosper. The one that prospered forgot all about Joseph another 2 years, and he finally remembered it, and then Joseph is brought out, he is cleaned up, presented before the king to interpret the king's dream. The king hears him, and the Lord makes Joseph second in charge, the prime minister of all of Egypt, second only to the king himself. Verse 20, chapter 50. As for you, who is he talking to? Joseph's brothers. As for you, my brothers, you meant evil against me. You didn't care anything about me. You're going to leave me to die, first of all, in the pit. Then you just sold me as a slave, and I'm your brother. You sold me for money and didn't care that I wouldn't see you for decades. You meant evil against me. See, that's the two rivers. Did they not do what they wanted to do? Did God stop them? Nope, they did exactly what they wanted to do. We hate you. We don't want you around. And first they decided they were going to throw them in the pit. The Lord allowed their will to come. Nope, they changed their mind. We're going to do something else. All of that was allowed. Yeah. And he said, what you meant for evil, God meant it for good. So those are two flowing into one, which ended up being what God. And ultimately, all of this is going to be what God ultimately wants. You understand what I'm saying? There's the word good in there. What you meant for evil, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive. Because there was a great famine for 7 years, and then prosperity and big harvest. It's not the word I wanted to say, but large harvest for 7 years. And then after that was followed by seven lean years. And they stored up when they had their plentiful harvest, they stored up the grain and so forth, so that when the 7 years came along of lean years, they had still had plenty of food. So when he says to preserve many people alive, well, if that had not happened, if God had not given the solution to the upcoming famine through Joseph, his man, then many people would have died. So Joseph's brothers throwing them in a pit, and at that time are coming right by the Midianite caravaners. So they changed their mind. The timing of that, God is using it. They haven't been coming by while they just threw them in a pit. So then he said, let's get them out and we'll sell them. Well, which way are the Midianite caravaners going? To Egypt. That's how he gets Joseph to Egypt, because that's where he wants him to be. So he uses their evil to bring about good, to bring Joseph where he needed to be, which was in the land of Egypt. Although there was hardship there, sheer lying and imprisonment, but eventually God used all of that. Then he gives the king a dream. He allows the baker to remember, oh my Lord, I forgot. I remember this guy that when I was in prison, he can interpret this dream. Could the Lord have not allowed him, could the Lord have allowed him to have his memory come back sooner? Chose not to. All that evil, God working right alongside. If you really sit down and think about it, just meditate on that, it really is incredible. That was a ton of contingencies that was happening that God is orchestrating and using all of it without doing violence, as the theologians called it, to the will of man. Meaning he does not interrupt, flow, mess with, hinder in any way what man wants to do. That's what makes it so incredible. He lets him do what he does. And God, in spite of the evil, he still works the good. And I hope you really can get a hold of that, because that'll help you to put more faith in God the Father. Like, no matter what they're doing to you. Right. They're mistreating you on the job, not respecting you, your husband crazy, your nephew's crazy. It don't make a difference. God is saying, I'm working all of it. Because I go back to Romans 8:29. Before the world began, I foreknew you. Intimate acquaintance, not some passive external light. I know you personally. I know you intimately before the world began. So I've been orchestrating your whole life, whether I allow, whether it's passive orchestration, meaning allowing, or active, I'm actually causing things. Either with everything in your childhood, I just smile as I meditate on these things. Every childhood hurt, pain, every joy, disappointments. You were 3 years old, 4 years old, 5 years old. God, it's all on top. And I just smile like, wow, you were just over that whole thing. Hallelujah. It just makes you feel special. And you are too. David didn't say the Lord is a shepherd. Miss Palmer shook her head. He said, but come on, somebody. He said, my, I want you to get stingy. Yes, he's mine. Yeah, the Lord looked out for you. All those years, the hurt and pain that nobody else saw, he was there, and he's still there, and he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Be encouraged. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We think we were alone at 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. We thought we were by ourselves. No, there's a great big God who, if you're born again, he already said before foundation world, this is going to be my child. This is my child. I'm watching over you. I got you. In the death of your father at 9 years old, in the death of your mother, mother and father, he has you. I see every tear. I see every heartbreak. You are mine. I'm working it together. You see, the sinner just go through it. There's nothing being worked together for good there. But for us, every single thing. Joseph didn't know it. His father didn't know it. You read on him, he said, everything is coming down around me. Everything is going wrong. Basically, all is lost. He had no idea. But here the Lord allowed us to read Genesis 50 and 20 for us to this day, that what you meant for evil, God meant it for good. It is the purpose of the Lord, Proverbs says, that shall stand. Many are the plans in the mind of men, but it's the purpose of the Lord that's going to stand. That's good news. Because I don't care what human being got against you, supervisors and managers and all of that. I don't care what they plotting against you. I don't care what color you are or what color they are.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
They are not bigger than God. And if they fire you or mistreat you, realize, well, Lord God, you got some, you working some things out. That's why we need to meditate on the fact that God is working all things together for my good, both in time, temporal, present time, present life, and eternally. It's all good. So that's what I really mean there. For us, it's all good. I feel like running. This is so encouraging. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. How many of you have conflict in your family? Conflict on the job? Conflict, just conflict? How many have people who don't like you? How many have people in family that don't like you? People on the job that don't like you? You have all that going on.
What chapter?
Chapter 8. Thank you. Chapter 8, verse 15. God is saying, they ain't bigger than me.
That's right.
Were they plotting, scheming? Okay, what wrong they trying to do? We just saw Joseph's brothers. That's family.
Yes, it is.
And even if it comes out, even if they carry out, which they carried out, their will. They carried out exactly what they wanted. Doesn't mean that, ooh, well, God can't do nothing now. No. And if they kill you, you just go right on into glory. You get the ultimate reward. So it's win, 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 win for you, period. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 15. This is God, Moses recounting what God did for the children of Israel. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness, 40 years through that, with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness, he fed you with manna, which your fathers did not know. Here, so that's all the working together of the bad things, all that happened. Here's the good that he worked out of all of that. That he might humble you. That's a good thing. If you're prideful, we need to be humble. And that he might test you, test your faith, that's another good thing, to do good for you in the end. That's the good that he worked at all things. Do you see that? He may humble you, that he might test you to do good for you in the end. Realize that's what's happening with you and me every single time. Just say, Lord, I thank you that you're humbling me. Do we all need to be humble? And if you don't, then you need to come up here for lying. Let me slap some hot Crisco on your face if I don't have no anointing oil to get that devil out of you, because we all need to be, pray for me, Clyde. We all need to be humble. And you don't understand the real nature of who you are. Because in deep down in there, at the root of all that is pride and arrogance and self-exaltation and selfishness. We all need to be humbled. That's a good thing. That's a very good thing. That's what I'm saying. So although you're going through a hard thing and it stays hard, but humility comes out of it, then that's a good thing. That doesn't mean that it turned out well or everything. Not teaching that. But we are teaching that good things can happen even though the heart. Did those things happen to Joseph? Were they undone? No. He suffered. He was the youngest, or one of the youngest, and he missed a lot of growing up with the rest of his family. They just think he was gone from his family. He was done. He's in a whole other part of the world. And his brothers allowed their father, because you know, once they sold him, they took his coat and dipped it into it, they killed the animal, dipped it in blood, and then let the father believe that the boy had been killed, and they saw him grieving day after day, year after year, and never said, you know what, Dad, I'm sorry. Not once. That's cold-blooded. That's sin, to see your own father suffer like that. That wasn't undone. That's God taking the good. This will help you to embrace hardship with God working it. Cry, be sad, do what you do to get through, because you're human. But realize, if you're a child of God, he's somehow working it. And don't try to figure it out. Just believe it. And lay your head on that pillow. The pillow of faith. That what God has said, God is also able to perform. So he humbled him, that they might test and to do good. Look at this. Here's another good thing. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hands has made me this well. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who has given you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant. See, we ain't nowhere in that. Which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. That's all good, so that you don't rise up in arrogance and say, hey, I did this. I'm going to break you down. She got another one. Again, God working all things together for good. Job 42. Verse 5. Let me get ready to close. Job 42, verse 5. Bless you.
Thank you.
Bless you and five more people. Job 42, verse 5. I have heard of you. Okay, now, you know Job went through his thing, right? Sabaeans and the Chaldeans just came and just wiped him out. He lost everything in one day. 10 children and all of his wealth. And then right after that, he lost his health, but not his life. I'm just giving a recap. Job 42, verses 5 and 6. So this is Job, whose faith waned somewhat as things went on. But for the most part, the Word of God says he never sinned against God, neither did he charge God foolishly. So he held to his faith, but he wavered some. I'm going to say a few things that weren't quite right. So God is working all things together, right? He allowed all that to happen. All of him to lose 10 children, lose everything he had, lose his health, all of that. That's now, he worked together for what? For good. Let's see the good. Verse 5. I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear. I heard about you. But now my eye sees you. You can't get more gooder thing than that. What does that mean? My eye sees you. Well, we know he's not talking about with the physical eye, because no man can see God and live. He's talking about what? The eyes of his heart. I perceive. I understand. I know a little bit more about God. What greater thing can that? What gooder, greater thing is that you know God more, understand him more, you perceive him more? Now, I said, and of course, in a sort of jesting way, Lord, why did you give Job back 10 kids and double all the things? I said, you know the charismatics was going to be, the prosperity gospel people were going to be in existence, because that's all they jumped to. They skipped the real good and jumped to the end. They preach to someone like, double for your trouble, because you end up with double that he had in the beginning. And they focus on that. They don't teach you anything about the real good. I see God. I understand God. Hallelujah. All that other stuff, amen to that. God chose that, but the real riches came here. Look at verse 6. Therefore, I retract and I repent in dust and ashes. What is that? Humility. He humbled him. Being humbled is a blessing, although it's quite painful. The process, but the good that comes from it is wonderful. He was humbled and he saw God clearer. That's the good. You don't ever have that here, preacher. Am I right? You hear Job being preached, but you don't hear this. I got the trials of Job, but that means you're going to get double for your trouble then. Yes. So they tell you, am I right, Miss Cheryl? In a heartbeat. They tell you that in a minute. Missing the whole point. The good was that he sees God and he was humble. After all of that, he's working all things. One more. We'll stop here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's go to New Testament now. We could play more in the Old Testament. Let's go to the New Testament now. Chapter 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 and 17. I hope you are as encouraged as I am by this. I sure hope so. This can help us see God clearer, understand him better, know him more, see him more clearly, follow him more nearly, love him more dearly. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, right, the body's breaking down. So I'm working all things together. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. You all got something different?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I'm on the wrong verse.
Okay. You got it?
Yeah.
Okay. Verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. So verses 15, what are they talking about? Things that are rough. So rough that, but he said, in spite of that, we don't give up. We don't lose heart. We don't lose hope. We don't give up. We don't faint. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. God is even using decaying of the aging and the breaking down of our bodies. He's even using the good in that, which is causing the inner man to be renewed. Not causing, but at the same time, rather, our inner man is being renewed day by day. The real you, by the way. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Wow. He is calling these challenges, trials, and tribulations, and troubles, momentary light affliction. This is, can only be spoken by someone who has a real stronghold of eternal life and the glory that shall be revealed. Because when you're talking about light affliction, let me show you the person talking, saying this is Apostle Paul. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I think it is. 2 Corinthians 11. Look at verse 23. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Let me know when you have it, because I'm going to show you that. Look who is saying light afflictions, weightless trifles. They're so light. Verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so. In far more labors, in far more imprisonments, in beatings without number, in frequent danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. By the way, one of those stonings, church historians believe he actually was killed. And while he was dead, it might have been when he went to heaven, in that third heaven, and had the vision with the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 26, I've been in frequent journeys and danger from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the desolate places, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brothers. I've been in labor and hardship, in many sleepless nights, in starvation and thirst, often hungry and cold and without enough clothing. Apart from such external things, there is a daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Did you read that grocery list of beatings and dangers from all over? Now, if you go back to 2 Corinthians 4, he calls them momentary light afflictions. Wow, all of that? And again, the word light means weightless trifle. The light affliction, he calls it a weightless trifle, like a feather, no weight to it. But look, keep reading though. It's producing, so here goes the good, for us an eternal weight of glory. So when you look at all those beatings and all those dangers. When you weigh them on the scale compared to the eternal weight of glory, they are weightless. Does that make sense? Because being before I have in his presence of our Heavenly Father forever, in the presence of his glory forever, that eternal weight makes this a weightless trifle. Now look at the comparison. He probably went through almost more than any human being suffering from the Lord ever went through without just being killed. But that's how heavy the eternal weight of glory. It says far beyond all comparison. Is that not the epitome of working all things together for good? Look at all that bad. But in the end, it's good. We'll stop there. Got some more, but we'll stop there. Father God, we need to keep hearing this. Why? Well, we live in a fallen world. And challenging things happen. sometimes daily. And this will help us to get our mind right, if you will, to embrace the testing of our faith and the humbling of ourselves, because you are in the midst of it all, working everything together for good. That which is beneficial, that which is useful, and that which is advantageous for each and every one of your children. That which is a benefit, useful, and advantageous for each and every one of us. Help us to focus on that, not just going through the pain. Like Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at your right hand. Help us to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ as we walk through this veil of tears, knowing that you have our hand. Our hand is in your hand, or we're up in your everlasting arms. You are present with us. I mean, present, ever present, ever present. With full consciousness, as one preacher added. And I like that, because he's not, because we can be, we're present in his room, Father, but we don't know half of the things that are going on in a corner where there's a little ant or a spider here weaving a web or a piece of dust falling from here. Or we don't, you're in there with full, you know, everything. You're fully conscious when you are in our presence. Nothing is getting by you. Even the very hairs of our head are numbered. Help us to embrace your presence. Embrace it. And know that you're there. Walking us through. Yes, you walk with us and you talk with us along the narrow way. And the voice we hear, as the song says, falling on our ear, none other has ever known. Only those whom you've called, let me get it, only those whom you have foreknew and predestined and called and justified and glorified. Thank you for saving us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.